to know that the Lord has been so good to me during this conference, has ministered to my life, as I've been listening to various servants of God who have been sharing with us, and man, all of them have impacted my life, and I'm so grateful. I hope you have had the same experience. You know, time is of essence, and I have quite a bit I would like to cover, and before I do that, I just want to introduce my wife to you. Some of you have not possibly met her, Pastor Jane here. I wish she can come and say a few words, and then from there, I'll take over. And let me tell you today is a great day for us. It's our 40th year anniversary. And, you know, we thank God for the way He has taken care of us over the years. Jane may not want this, but let me surprise you. You have been so good to me. All these years we have been married. We have passed through difficult situations, some happy times. And we started just two of us. And, you know, the Lord blessed, graced our marriage with the four children. All of them are now grown up. Again, we are left with two of us. I want you to know I love you, and I'll continue loving you, because the Lord brought you to me to be, so that we may be together in this life. And I pray that our marriage will continue being exemplary to the people we ministering wherever the Lord takes us. And let me tell you, you have been so good to me. You are precious to me. Amen. I don't know. I'm surprising her. She did not know that.
we do like this.
Oh, my. Thank you very much, Bishop, my husband. It has been wonderful to live together for 40 years, loving and serving the Lord together. I think most of those years have been used in the ministry, because we have been in ministry now for 34 years. So most of that time has been used within the ministry. And we thank God for the way He has used us. I'm so grateful to be in this conference. I've been ministered to by all the people, the ministers that have come and given us word. It has just been a time of relaxing and focusing again on what God wants us to do. And our hearts are sold out to the Lord. I enjoyed the workshop yesterday with the ladies, and I discovered how many giftings and talents we have, all of us together. We went through that workshop together, and it was wonderful. But because there is no time now, let me just say one experience I gave them yesterday so that all of us can understand that. I told them last year, towards the end of last year, I had an experience. I think it was a dream. I always say I think it was a dream, because I went to bed. We were with my husband, and we had gone somewhere, and that night I had a dream. And in the dream, it appeared to me that Jesus came, and He started walking with me. And I think it must be Jesus or an angel, but was a huge, big, mighty man. And He held me by the head, and we were walking together. But as we walked together, I was telling the ladies, I kept talking. And I think it was hidden from me, so I should not understand what I was talking about. But I could see myself really talking and telling Jesus something. And I was telling Him a lot of things, but I couldn't understand what I was saying. But Jesus was not talking. We kept walking, and once in a while, He will look down on me. See, He was so huge, so I was so small. He will look down on me and smile. And we kept on walking. Once in a while, He will look down and smile. And then we got into a hall where there was a gathering of people. And I think it was time to give these people some food. So they were getting served. And all I know is I entered through the door and I saw some people that were not being fed and I started giving them food. I started, and I was in the strength. It's like as Jesus was walking with me, there was love, you know, love. Love was coming from Jesus and filling me, and the whole of my body was full of love for people. And I went serving them, and I didn't want anybody to stay without eating. And I saw some people were out there, and they didn't have seats. I had to go and get them and show them where to sit and keep on feeding. It's like I wanted to do everything and anything that needed to be done so that these people are comfortable. And Jesus disappeared. So when I woke up in the morning, I said, what a dream. And I started thinking about it, and I have been thinking about it. And in my heart, I was saying, maybe it was hidden from me because what I was telling Jesus, maybe I was complaining. Maybe I was telling Jesus the ministry has become so difficult. It is so hard. Jesus, you see the way we tell these members to do things, they don't do. Now we have a lot of people. We need a lot of money for building. And I think Jesus was not interested in what I was saying. All he knows, if I am infused with his love, I can do everything he wants me to do. So even in this conference, that is my encouragement for every one of us. Let us focus on Jesus. Let us not focus on what we don't have. Let us not focus on what people say. Let us not focus on the challenges. And I think that is what Alex was reminding us the day he was speaking here, and I was getting so blessed. When we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and his love keeps on filling us, then we shall be able to do everything and anything he wants us to do. So God bless you so much. And when we go different ways to our areas, please take our greetings there. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Well, blessed is the man who is the husband of that lady.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, we have been talking about God's presence. And I just want to pick up from where, you know, the rest of us who have gone before us or before me, stopped at. You know, God's presence, when I think of God's presence, I realize there is very little we can do, actually nothing, if we don't have Lord's presence. And when I was preparing these notes I'm going to share with you, I just remembered there are moments I have experienced the presence of God in a very dramatic way. I'm sure each one of you, you might have heard some time, say, oh, God visited me today. You know, those moments are usually very wonderful. And I remember, you know, many years ago, and I don't like dwelling on my past experiences, but I find myself from time to time refalling to some of the sweet experiences I've had in life. And they help me to understand and even to crave for more of God's presence. We had a service. We had a conference in our church. By now, you know, we come from Kenya. Nakuru is our city, about 1 million people. That's where we have been residing for the last 34 years when we have been ministering. And some of you, some of the leaders here of KLN have been there. They have ministered to us. We have Bishop E. Daniel. We have our president of KLN, Henry, and the former president, T. Charles. Who else has been there? And Chebas. You know, Chebas, Rose, and Ellen have been there. They have ministered to us in some of our conferences. And sometimes these leaders have come to us when we are so low. And like 2007, and do remember 2008, we were very low because our country almost went to, you know, almost had a civil war. And, you know, they came and filled that gap, helping us to reconcile with each other. They have impacted our life in many ways. I'd be so grateful to God. Well, I'm told I don't have much time. And time here in America is of essence. And I usually say when you travel west, time tends to increase. But when you travel west, time tends to decrease. There's a reason why you don't have a lot of it here. seems to be diminishing here. So I want to use my time. So anyway, we had this service. I think it was a conference we had. And a beautiful conference. I was not the preacher of the night actually. And I was called to close the meeting, you know, with a word of prayer. Just like the way we may call anybody here after the preacher has ministered, you know, with a word of prayer. No much talking. And that's what I did that evening. I'm coming and telling the Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done to us this morning. Thank you for your head. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your servant. It was like a thanking the Lord. I don't know what happened. As I was thanking the Lord, you know, an unprecedented phenomenon took place. I felt such a presence of God come upon me in a very powerful way, and I fell down. And when I was down on the platform, the congregation, I guess, you know, they did not know what was going on, I don't know. And the Lord ministered to me. As I was seated there, He was speaking to me words of encouragement. He was speaking to me about the future of the ministry. And it took 1 hour. I was there lying on the platform. I thought I was the only one. So when I opened my eyes, I saw somebody who was interpreting for me also had fallen down. I looked at the church, you know, about 1,000 people or so that were there that evening, and none was standing. All these people were either prostrate on their tummies or were kneeling down. We did not have any spectators in the church that evening. Well, what happened? I believe God visited us in a very special way. And it's like every person for 1 hour. 1 hour, we were there. The church did not have a leader. You know, the pastor could not do anything. I was down and oblivious what was going on. All I was focused on was the presence of God. God ministering to me. It is one of those very beautiful moments I have had in life. I've had quite a number. I want you to understand when you're talking about cultivating the presence of God. We can't do without the presence of God. We need the presence of God in our life, in every area of our life. If we try to do without His presence, I don't think we can go very far. Well, let me try to get to some of this. I'd like us to read this text we were given. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, I'll read it as quickly as I can to save time so that I may share with you a few thoughts. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you are, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that you are people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that, dear Lord God, you will minister to our lives. In Jesus' name. I want to start and to say, you know, one of the areas, you know, I don't know whether you can see it, it's like very congested here. One of the facts I think is very important, if you're going to cultivate the presence of God in our lives, we must have a passion. There must be a strong desire for His presence. You know, you need that. And you have to be tired, sick and tired at the level you are at, so that you can say, now, I want to go to another level. I want the Lord to be in my life. You see, Moses, looking at the text we have just shared, he had a passion. He had a strong desire. He said, I want to know you. Uh-huh. And when I know you, I'll know your way. And I'll find grace, your favor, your presence, your goodness, you'll be upon my life. If I know you. I mean, you know, when you know the Lord, I tell you, it makes all the difference. Yeah. If you do not know me, you may not know what I like. You may not know my life patterns. You know, you do not know, you know, how my emotions work, because you do not know, you are not acquainted with me. You know, similarly, I guess, if you do not know the Lord, and I think it's a lifetime thing, we are not just going to say we have known the Lord today. It is, I think it's a lifetime, because every time we are knowing the Lord, you know, a little bit more. We're saying, Lord, we have not had enough. We want to know you. And this is what Moses was saying. You know, he said in his prayer, he was crying for intimacy. It was his strong desire, you know, to have a closer walk with the Lord. And he wanted to know his way, you know, so that he may know him, you know. You know him, and you know, so that the favor, the grace of God also may rest upon him. You know, as I was preparing, I was just remembering Paul. And Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 3:10. It was the cry of his heart. And we find Paul crying, I sing, oh, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. You know, he wanted to know him. You know, there is something that happens. To know somebody intimately. Over the years, for the 40 years, my wife and I have been married. It is like every year I'm learning and she's learning an aspect of our life. One thing I have learned in marriage, I guess, you know, we have some people who have been married here longer than us, but it's like there are things that unfold in that relationship. You know, we started when we married, all our parents were alive. And you know, and later on, we are enjoying them. Our parents were alive, I guess Jane and I would have known how either of us would react when you don't have parents. Because we were not there. After all, our parents were gone. You know, it is like we are discovering each other. Oh yes, I can see this is the way my wife behaves when our parents are gone. Or let us say when we started having our children, now we have four, you know, who are grown-ups now. You know, it was like a process. I'm knowing how does my wife react. What are her responses? You know, when, after we have had one child, after two, after three, after four, you know, all these life experiences. What are the responses of my wife when we have gone through hard times? When we are having good days? Or when you're going these seasons in life. So all those responses, you know, help in our relationship. And I believe when you know, as the word of God is saying here, so, you know, Moses and Paul is saying, all that I may know him. There's something I want to know about him. There is something I may feel I've not even reached. I've not even scratched the surface. I want to know him. I want to know that the power that operates in him. And again, another aspect, I would think is very important in our cultivating the presence of God. We must be desperate for His presence. If you are not desperate for His presence, I want you to know you are not experiencing Him. Yeah, it is like you reach a level in your life, you're saying, oh, I want much more. I want to know Him. I'm desperate of His presence. I need the glory of God in my life in a, in a bigger way, in a higher way. I want to experience him in a way I've never done before. And you know, we can never exhaust opportunities the Lord gives us, you know, to know him. Yeah? He wants us to know him. And because when we know him, our lives will never be the same. The presence of God changed us. The presence of God after has changed our lives, changed the way we do ministry, changed the way, you know, we do, even changes our atmosphere, even the church. If we do not welcome the presence of God, let me tell you, even doing ministry, and I guess I have captured it somewhere, it is going to be a very uphill, you know, task. So Moses was desperate for God's presence. And we find him, he is saying in chapter 33, verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. He could not imagine how he'd move in his leadership, how he'd move managing all these people who seemed very difficult to lead. How do I do it without the presence of God? I need his hand. Oh yes, you have to be desperate. You also have to be desperate like this man. We find the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. All of us know the story of this man called Jabez. Jabez had to pray a very powerful prayer. And we find him saying, oh, that you did bless me indeed. That's somebody who is desperate. That's somebody who wants God in a big way. Oh, that you may enlarge my territory. That your hand would be with me, and that you'd keep me, then from evil, that it may not cause pain. And God granted him what he requested. It was his deepest cry. I want the presence of God in my life. I have lived without being blessed. You know, I believe. And you know, blessings are powerful. Blessings, whether we are talking about spiritual blessings, or healthy blessings, or material blessings, every blessing you receive from the Lord will change you. Will change your circumstances. You know, how do you feel when you are sick and you are healed? That changes even the way you operate. You know, because you have received the blessing of healing. How do you feel when God has blessed you, possibly you have been poor for a long time, and then blesses you with some resources? How do you feel? It changes your circumstance. Yeah. Let me tell you, there were years I had a very old car. You know, as I went driving, doing missions, every trip I went, I was losing a part of my car. It was old. And sometimes I wondered, even why did I drive it? You know, and, you know, I lost a muffler, I lost something else, and it is like every trip I made, I had to go to a garage. But somewhere down the road, the Lord was so precious to me, gracious to us, and blessed us a car. We have never owned a brand new car, so I don't know how you feel when you are driving a brand new car. I'm yet to get there. But I pray one day before, you know, I'm not able to drive a car, I will own a new car. So I don't know how it feels. Some of you, I know you have driven new cars. You know how it feels. It's not like driving an old car. So that blessing, it changes. Every blessing, whether we are talking about spiritual blessing, you know, or physical blessing, healthy blessing, ministry blessing, whatever it is, it will change the atmosphere. It will change the way even you do the ministry. So the blessings of God actually are a component of empowerment. Every blessing we receive, I want you to see it. It is empowerment in your life in one way or the other. And Jabez prayed that prayer, and God granted. And I pray that before we leave, and I believe the Lord has been speaking to us, has been impacting your life, that as we are coming to the end of the conference, I pray we be so much impacted. We be so much impacted in our lives. The presence of God is to go with us. Because he loves, especially when we are saying, yes, Lord, come into my life. I need you. Oh, let me tell you one day, you know, I'm kind of a very dramatic man. Sometimes I do crazy stuff. And one day I wanted to invite God into my room. That time I was a young man. And I said, well, I'm going to invite God. He's going to come and minister to me here. I'm going to talk with him. You know, I was in college and, you know, I asked myself, what will my Lord sit on in this room? So I got my, you know, my kind of a seat there over there. I had some, you know, clean linen. I folded them nicely. And I said, Lord, I kneeled down. And I said, Lord, please come. I just need you. I want to talk with you. I want to tell you something. Please come and sit on this seat here that I talk with you. And let me tell you, you know, God respects our faith. As I did that, of course God did not come in the physical form. I never saw anybody. But the presence of God came in that room. I found myself praying for hours. Because I made the initiative. And I said, Lord, I welcome you. I welcome you into this place. I welcome you into this room. Come so that I may converse with you. That I may talk with you. Let me tell you, you know, these things, you have to be desperate. You know, listen, Trey, I went for a funeral back home. It was a funeral away from our city and of a brother. Oh, no, it was it a brother or sister, you know, of our member, you know, and had passed on and, you know, my wife and I had to go to the funeral. And it was being conducted by, you know, an Episcopal church. So we were just attending just like anybody else. And, you know, when I was there, you know, this pastor who was conducting was a huge funeral, attended possibly by at least 1,000 people. Who had come, and he said, you know, he introduced me to all these people. I never knew he knew me, and he said, you know, we want the Bishop of Happy Church to come and want him to pray. He's going to pray for all the candidates who want to have, who are, you know, vying, who are aspiring to be members of Parliament, to be members of Senate in our country. By the way, our country goes to the polls on Tuesday. You know, so please keep on praying for us. We want peaceful elections. So, you know, I went forward. And, you know, and I'm saying, okay, all those people who are vying for these various seats, please, you can come forward. And let me tell you, I was amazed. They came running. I'm talking about running. This is what, you know, let me show you. They came running, and as they ran, they kneel down. And they are lifting up their hands. How? I said, my goodness, these are politicians. They are so desperate for the blessings of God. They are so desperate to be prayed for. And in fact, I had to ask them, please, can you stand up? Because I want to share a few words with you. I don't want to speak to you when you're on your knees. I have never seen it that way. But that is a good example. I can show you, you know, I can share with you when people are desperate. Yeah. They will do things. Who can think of a member of Congress coming quickly and kneeling down? And even he is not told to kneel down. Or a senator. Or a governor. You know. It does not normally happen. You see? But to see these people coming, running. I just said, within my spirit, God must be in this place. God must be in this funeral because it does not usually happen like that. That is what desperation means. You know, Jabez was desperate and God provided, God granted the desire of his heart, and I pray that the Lord will grant the desires of our heart. I want to share with you, you know, the other aspect I think is very important is what I call divine alignment. Can you say divine alignment? All those things we are talking about have something to do with the divine alignment. We find Moses wanted to know the way of the Lord so that he might align his life and leadership in tandem with the will, intentions, and the purposes of God. You know? That's why we say, I want to know you. I want to know the Lord. I guess also even Paul, he's saying the same thing here. You know, divine alignment. Well, let me, I'm trying to go quickly here, you know, being conscious of time. But I want you, you know, to see where I'm coming from. He wants to know the will of God. How many of us would like to know the will of God? I guess all of us. You know, I want to know the will of God in every situation of my life. And when you know the will of God, you feel blessed. Because you know I'm just going the way the Lord wants me to. And to know the will of God, you know, also it is like you're having, you know, you are knowing the intentions of God. What the Lord wants to do. Huh? You are having the mind of God concerning a specific situation. You know, the purposes of God. You know, you're understanding. Oh yeah, I know His will. And since I know His will, God help me to do according to Your will. According to Your intentions. According to Your purposes. Lord help me. That's what I would like to do all the days of my life. And we find divine alignment is instrumental to accessing what the Lord has for us. Paul was determined to access what Christ had for him. Yeah, he says, not that I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Philippians chapter 3:12. You know, he's saying what Christ has for me. You know, oh, this Savior, this Messiah, this Lord of mine, I want to serve all the days of my life. I want to know what is that He is laying hold for me. I want to access it. You know, I want to access what He has for me. And I want to believe the Lord has something for every one of us. Because all of us are distinctively unique. And the Lord knows what you need at whatever time, at whatever season of your life. He knows what you need. And Paul was saying, I just want to get hold. I'm not reached, my spirituality has not reached the crescendo. I'm not like saying I understand everything. But he's saying, you know, I'm pressing on. I'm working on. And I believe all of us, that's what we are doing. We are pressing on. We are making sure that we do not rely on the yesterday's anointing, yesterday's blessings, yesterday's performance. We are pressing on. We are working hard, you know, moving forward, you know, to know the Lord, to do what we can do for the Lord. Listen to it. Somebody sent me a very beautiful, and I thought I put it there so that I don't forget, you know, a video on a duck and some ducklings. I don't know where that was gotten. You know, on WhatsApp. And this duck had like about, 12 ducklings. And all of them were climbing a staircase. There were three staircases. This one, I think was, from this one, was supposed to come to this one, and this one before landing here. The mother found it very easy to go up here first. And all the 12 ducklings were down there. Each one of them is trying to go to the next step. It's hard. It's difficult because they were small. They would run to this side of a platform, thinking the staircase there or the step is a little bit lower. They would jump, they fall back. They go to the other one. Oh man, I'm saying, oh my goodness, this cage, these ducklings are really having a hard time. But after a little bit of struggle, one made it to the fastest step. And the other, the majority were left there. They were down there. You know, and, and this one realized, well, I have to keep on pressing on. My mom is up here. I have not reached yet. Struggled. It is not making to the next one. But it finally, after a number of trials, it came here. Yeah, you know, I think it was here. And then finally, it is like the Kenyans running. I like watching Kenyans running because, oh man, the final dash. Oh, let me tell you, what excites me is to watch athletes when they are finishing. I just love the energy they put, you know, into the final, I don't know, a few hundred yards or something. So finally, this little dad made it to the mom. And the others are still there. And now mom is still watching. Oh, yeah. It's like, say, come on, you can make it. Your brother or sister has made it. Keep on. And they drive. Then I saw a few others. They have gone the first step. And the second step. And go join the mother. And now there were two that have made it. The majority are still there. They were one by one. And finally there was one left. After about 10 or 12 ducklings making it to the base. And then I was watching. And I'm watching this. What will this one do? What will the mother do? And the mother is patient. It's moving a little bit this way and then comes back. And it's like, say, come on. The others have made it up here. You cannot be left. We are not going anywhere until you make it up. And the little duck, I think, was possibly the weakest. Oh, jumped. I said, yeah, that's good. And again, it jumped. And finally, the entire family was here. I looked at the whole thing. And whoever had sent said, you should never give up. Keep on trying. You should never give up. Keep on trying. And I said, this is very, very, I looked at it, I said, it is teaching me about the love of the mother. The care, the tender loving care of a mother. And here also is teaching me about, you know, persistence. We have to keep on pressing on. The little duckling is pressing on. Until it reaches its final destination where the mother is. And I believe all of us want to reach there. Each one of us, we have to keep on working hard and may the Lord help us. Another factor I want you to understand in our divine alignment, He is the cornerstone factor. We have to obey and submit to the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone to our life. Have you not even read this is scripture. The stone which which builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. In the book of Mark chapter 12 verse 10. His Lordship involves all aspects of our lives. He must have preeminence in all situations. He is our cornerstone. We have to align. I've watched people, some missions, you know, a lot of building in our country, and like now we are building, I shared with you, is it yesterday? We are building this big building, which will cost us quite a lot of money. And I told you yesterday, today I came with some brochures. You need one to understand what we are doing, and you see how you can help us, would highly appreciate. And I have observed, when these builders, I don't know much about building, but I see foundation. We have to go down like, I don't know, more than 10 feet to get that good ground after geological study, you know, on the property. And then when the missions are building, they are first putting the cornerstones. And I see them putting a line to align every stone they are going to lay on according to the cornerstone. That alignment is a must. And the building must be built, bearing in mind cornerstone is the first one to be placed. And I have observed them do that. And it just reminds me what the scripture is telling us here. Our Lord is the chief cornerstone. Everything must be aligned. Whatever you are doing, if the building is going to stand for a long time, if the building is going to be stable, if that building is not going to collapse, everything must be aligned according to the chief cornerstone. The ministries we are doing, you know, the ministry you do, you are serving the Lord, you want to, you know, to advance God's kingdom, that ministry must be aligned, must have a divine alignment. The cornerstone is so crucial, is so critical. And listen to what I've said, I think that is a very crucial factor when we want to cultivate, you know, the presence of God. What we are doing, Lord, I want to align everything. Ministry. The ministry I'm doing, I have no empire to make of my own. I have no ministry of my own. I'm only serving God according to His purposes, according to what He designed me to do. And that's what I want to do. And I believe each one of you, that's what you want to do. But whatever we do, if we are going to draw, if you're going to attract His presence in what you're doing, everything we must recognize, we have to align everything with Him, with His intentions, with His will, with His purposes. And He must be given a preeminence in what we are doing. And when we do that, I believe, our ministry is going to succeed. The other one I want to share is a divine alignment at His word. Oh man, we can talk a lot, we can spend a lot of time on this. Divine alignment demand. We abide in the vine, and we have heard about that over and over. Our Christian life will be empty, meaningless, and devoid of life if we don't intentionally abide in Christ. You know, we have read that scripture over and over again in John chapter 15, verses 4-6. You know, the scripture talking about we can bear no fruit if we don't abide in Him. And I think, the ministers who ministered before me, they laid a lot of emphasis on this. And that's what I'm calling divine alignment. If the branch is not aligned, if we as the branches, we don't align ourselves with God, we cannot. Our lives are empty. We are trying to labor, even in the ministry. We may spend a lot of effort. We may become sick because we are using a lot of energy, which we are not supposed to. We need God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Yeah, because it's God's work. You know, it is God's work. And all we need to do is to be divinely connected and be aligned. Say, yes, Lord, help me. Help me to remain in focus. Help me to be aligned with your intentions, with your purposes. I that's what I want as I serve you. And because if I don't do that, well, whatever I'm doing is in vain. Whatever I'm trying to accomplish, I cannot accomplish. We must abide in His word. Our Lord said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Hallelujah. Yeah, so that alignment is so crucial. Even our Lord is saying, well, do you want to be my disciple? Do you want to be a person I can count on? Are you going to be a co-worker with me? Are you going to flow with my purposes, my will? Then you have no choice but to abide with me, but to be divinely connected, to have that alignment in your spirit with me, so that you can be and become what I want you to be. You cannot truly be my disciple if you're not divinely aligned with me. That's what the Lord is saying. Well, we must remain faithful to our Lord and to His word. That's, you know, what I'm trying to say. His word speaks of faith and His promises. Oh man, there's that is a statement that is heavy loaded. Faith. Do you know we can accomplish nothing without faith? That's the reason why the word of God tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. Because God gives us promises, and all these promises which the Lord has given us, but if in those promises we don't have faith, we may not access them. We may not have them. I have learned over the years, every promise the Lord gives, in whatever form, He requires us to access it by faith. Yeah. You know, having faith is having faith in Him. And saying, yeah, I have faith in God. He has whatever He says settles everything. He has the final word concerning every situation and every circumstance in our lives. Whatever He says is final. Whatever He declares cannot be revoked. His word carries the final authority. You see? And, having faith will help us to access that promise. I want to have faith. Sometime we may realize, oh yes, I don't have enough faith. Oh, I don't know what to do now. I find I don't have faith to do this. But one thing I have learned, as long as I sense what the Lord wants me to do, I will do it. I will move with it. This year, I was reminded of a tremendous miracle that happened, I think it happened sometime last year. But the fulfillment was this year. There is this couple. They had been married for 10 years. 10 years they had been married. They wanted to have children. They are not getting any. They go to the doctors to assess what's going on. And they told me, the doctor said, well, there's nothing. You know, there's, you are supposed to have babies. You know, anatomically, you are all right. Everything is okay. But they are not having. So there was something more than what the doctors could see in their examination for 10 years. How many know 10 years is a long time? It's a long time. And especially when you want to have something so desperately. And you know what? Someday, this couple felt, let's go and see the Bishop of Happy Church. He prays for a lot of people. And we believe we have seen some of the people he has prayed for. You know, they received their miracle. Why don't we go to visit him and we book an appointment with him? So they booked an appointment. And so I did not know what they wanted. So they came, and when they came in through the door into my office, I saw, you know, when I went, I was learning little medicine. I was taught one thing. When a patient is coming, look, have a quick scan of that patient from top to bottom. See the mannerism, see the walking gait, see everything. You know, I was looking at that. That's a little thing that helped me, or helped me in my ministry. So every time I meet somebody who is coming to see me, oh, within a short time, I've looked at this person, I'm getting kind of a very quick summary of how that person is. So here, they come, they look, they are coming in, they are depressed, they seem like they don't have much energy. So they come and we talk a little bit, and then tell me, and then I share with them, hey, tell me, how do I help you? They shared with me, it is the husband who started saying, you know, we have been longing to have a baby for a long time, but we can't. And we felt we must come to you. And we believe when you pray for us, we are going to receive our miracle. Huh. And I like the people who talk like that. I like. You know, I don't like the people, you know, I'm kind of persuading to pray. Can I pray for you? Well, you can pray for me if you like. I find I don't know. Like, you know, there, I went to one church at there. You know, there was somebody who was sick there, and I wanted a little to pray very seriously. And he comes, you know, saying, you know, can I pray with you? Oh, yeah, if you like, you can. And I, you know, was going through a difficult time, you know, health-wise. And, well, I have this condition. Well, it doesn't bother me a lot. I think I'm okay. You know, I can live with it. I've lived with it for all these years. And I wondered, what am I doing here praying for somebody who doesn't want to receive a miracle? You know, but this one, these people are even getting an appointment so that they can spend quality time with them. So they come, I say, well, yeah, I believe with you. And they kneel down even before I have told them. And I got some anointing oil. You know, there was anointing oil there. And I started praying. I saying, Lord, these people are Christians. They love God. These are your children. And for 10 years, they have been looking forward to have a baby. Oh, dear Lord God, I know you are merciful, you are kind, you are generous. There's nothing so impossible with you. There's nothing too difficult with you. And as I prayed, I sent the Lord telling me, tell them, in 3 months' time, the wife is going to conceive. And when I hear from the Lord, oh man, I like doing it as fast as I can. I stopped praying. I said, you know what? I have heard what the heaven is saying. The heaven is saying, you know, and you know, just the other day we had prayers here, and I sensed the Lord, you know, Dr. Cardole was telling us, just listen what the Lord is saying. And I heard the Lord say that the day when we are here, tune in for heavenly news. But it may sound to you not very spiritual, but for me it was so spiritual. Tune in for heavenly news. You know, most of the time we tune in to reports to what is happening in the world. Oh, this news that we're hearing, and much of it is not good news. But the Lord sometimes says, pause and tune in to the heavenly news. Hear what I'm saying. And man, when I heard that, I told them, yeah, in 3 months' time, you're going to conceive. And I hand this oil. And when I anoint people with the oil, I'm very generous with it. You know, and especially when it's ordination time. Bishop E. Daniel can bear witness of that. He has been there. You know, when we are ordaining people back home. Oh man, I pour the oil. You know, why should I pour a little? I want the anointing to overflow. Oh yes, all the way to the garment. I don't care what suit that person is wearing. I don't care how costly it is. Yeah, that's how crazy I am. I don't care, you know, the hair, you know, that's a lady, because you anoint the couple. I don't care the style, you know, the style that lady has. I pour oil until I see it overflowing. Oh, yeah. So when you come, that I pray for you and I'm anointing you with the oil, be ready, be ready. I think I may not be very popular with Americans there. But the thing is, I do it prophetically. You know, I'm saying I want the anointing of God to overflow. And so, you know, I'm doing this thing prophetically. So I want to see that anointing coming from the head, flowing to the garments. That's what I want. And we want the anointing of God upon our lives to be to become like a heavy duty anointing, affecting, impacting our thinking system, affecting our heart, affecting the way we do ministry. You know, that's my prayer, you know, and I can do anything for the anointing of God. Hallelujah, to receive that. And I, you know, so I prayed for them. And then I let them go. Sometime at the end of the year, they wanted to see me again, and they said, well, I don't know. Whatever the Lord has done, well, I can see it. I can observe it in the coming year. This is here. So December, you know, I was busy with the conference, busy there. I could not see them. But this year, I don't know, February or January there, you know, we came. When this couple came, guess what? The wife was so heavily pregnant. Oh man, I bless God when I saw her walking like this. Oh, I tell you, you don't. I was so excited. I said, "Oh, for 10 years, he had been waiting to have a miracle." And they sat down, and I said, "Oh, tell me, this is good news. I can even observe it. Tell me, it happened, Bishop." And they told me, this lady said, "I'm 7 months pregnant. In 2 months' time, I'm going to deliver." And that's what happened, I think in March in April there, end of March, and a baby girl was born. You tell that couple that the prayer do not work, they'll never hear you. They know when I'm prayed for, and I believe, oh man, in fact, in that, as I was praying for them, I was telling them, you're not only going to have one baby, you're going to have as many as you want. God is going to do it. And of course, he confirmed it. In 3 months, the lady conceived. Faith to the word of God. Having faith in God and his word. Whatever it says, oh man, I think we need to flow with it. Yeah, his word speaks of faith and his promises. His word speaks of his blessings. Oh man, we can talk a lot about that. His word speaks of his instructions. His word speaks of his will. His word speaks of our empowerment. Oh, let me pause a little bit here. I'm almost done. Brother Dan, Pastor Dan, I'm just done here. You know, when we talk about the Lord, empowering our lives, remember what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And verse 8, you know, the disciples, our Lord told them, "I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. Do not go anywhere. I want the fulfillment of the promise of the Father to come. Wait for the presence. Wait for the Holy Ghost. Wait for the Holy Spirit. He is going to come upon you. And when he comes upon you, you'll be my effective witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and to the uttermost part of the world." When the Holy Ghost has come, when his presence has come, oh yes, we will empower you. You cannot do it by your own power. You cannot minister by your own power. You need the presence of the Holy Spirit in your lives to empower you, to strengthen you, to give you what it takes. You know, we are dealing, let me tell you, ministry is becoming more challenging with every year. That, you know, we are talking about the generation we are reaching, the generation we are ministering to, this, you know, in this generation. We cannot do it by some philosophy of some kind. We cannot do it by good techniques, good preaching. Oh man, we may preach, but the preaching is a part of it, it's a component. But let me tell you what will make the work easier is when we allow the presence of God to get a hold of you, to get a hold of you, just like Paul was saying, to get a hold of you. As you minister, let the Holy Spirit take over. Allow Him. You become baptized, not one day. Let it become like everything you are crying for. Oh yes, Holy Spirit, infill me today. Energize me today. Oh yes, I need more empowerment today. I don't know how to do this ministry. I don't know how to accomplish it. But by your power. It is not by might, it is not by my own strength. But by your power, I can do it. And that's what the Lord was telling. That is a part of divine alignment. Align yourself with God's word. What does God's word saying? The disciples are being told who are going to become apostles here in Jerusalem. Don't be in a hurry. You know, you can't do this stuff alone. It's hard. It's difficult. I'll not be there. You know, I am leaving. I'm allowing you to be alone now to operate. But you're not going to do it on your power. You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you. The presence, my presence, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, will empower you, will make you dynamic, will make you more effective, will give you words, even as you speak, to speak my word with a lot of effectiveness. And you are going to touch people. You are going to touch them there in Jerusalem. At the local area, at E-Town, you're going to the neighboring county. You're going to the entire nation. And before too long, you're going to the uttermost parts of the world. If you're going to accomplish anything, my brothers and sisters, in KLN, we have to be anointed. We have to be anointed. Because some situations are very demanding. The Word of God talks about that appointment, of course, talks about our destiny. You know, our destiny. Oh, yes, I don't have time for that. I'm concluding now in a couple of minutes. So, Don, just settle down. What is this? You know, have you ever found yourself in a situation where, you know, I remember, I think, I don't know if I've told you the story in our previous Kellen conferences. I prayed for people, and sometimes have gone to haunted homes. And by the way, if you know of our persons who are living in a home which is haunted, I'm here this month and next month. By the end of next month, we are going back home. Just let us know that we are going to come and help that family. We deal with this stuff. We know how it works. You know, I was preaching in one church, and the pastor asked me this question: do you have experience of exorcism? You have experience of casting out demons. There is a haunted house, and these people are really haunted, and they want to sell their farm. It was a farm of 5 acres, you know, and on it there was a very big house, but they could not live there. The husband was serving in the military. I've never forgotten this. I'm talking about here in the U.S. And the pastor told me, and I told him, you know what? These demons are the same. The same demons in Africa. All they do is they change. When they come to Africa, America here, they become Americanized. Yeah. When they are in Kenya, in Africa, they become Africanized. You know, it is like monkeys. You know, monkeys, if you have a forest, I don't know this area, I don't know what you call this area, and another forest here. These monkeys may be changing, may be shifting. From day to day that you may find a pack of monkeys here. We have a lot of them in Kenya, you see. And when you go to that forest, you may think this is another set of monkeys. But they may be the same. All they did, they moved to the other forest. And demons operate like that. They are the same demons. touched on different nationalities. You know, and they take that. When their demons come here, or they are in this country, they behave like American people. They will bled into American culture. You see? And you may be thinking, well, this is a blah, blah, blah. And when they, it is back in Africa, they manifest in African culture. You see, that's what they do. So here, I tell this, you know, we go to this home. Again, I ask the pastor, do you have anointing oil? Oh, yes, let's go. So we go to the haunted home. I want to know, how are you, how haunted is this home? And then this lady says, number one, we don't sleep on our beds. Don't sleep on your bed? That was very new to me. Do you have beds? Yes. But you can't sleep on them. Do you know you can have a bed and the devil will make sure that you don't sleep on it? Huh? So I ask you, how does it happen? I said, the moment we started sleeping on our bed like anybody, there was this mysterious force that would come and take us all the way to the ceiling and let us go. And would come bumping to our to our bed. We were being tossed to and fro, like the way popcorn, you know, keeps on popping up and down. Really? Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm sympathizing with them. Then what did you do? We sleep on the floor of the house. Somehow we felt, well, we don't want this experience. And then I asked, when does it happen? Does it happen when you are alone? She said, no. It happens even when my husband is here. And he's a soldier. So you put your mattress on the floor of the house? Yes. And that's how we sleep. But we have this one problem. So the beds are there, we don't sleep on them. Number two, in our, we go to kitchen, sometimes we may be cooking in the kitchen over there. And there is like a mysterious force that comes. I may be cooking a very nice dish. And before too long, I see the dish flying there and everything is scattered on the floor of the house. Things are poured. I feel scared. I don't want to live here. The story I was hearing is like what I had heard in South Africa. I don't have time for that. But let me finish this story. So I told her, I asked her. As she was talking, I said in my spirit, this lady is not divinely aligned. It's not aligned with God. She is going to church, but her relationship with God is not right. I asked her, are you born again? And she's crying this time. She said, well, Pastor, well, sometime I was born again and I backslid. And my life, you know, has never been the same. You know, I'm no longer a Christian, though I go to church. I try to support the church activities. But inside my heart, I know I'm not right with God. I want to tell you this in front of my pastor here. She was honest. Let me tell you, when the presence of God comes, then you'll start confessing even when you did not want to confess. You are convicted. Her pastor, you know, was thinking is a very good lady here coming to church. But, you know, here we are. So I said, well, we are going to pray. We are going to move every room, casting out those demons. But first, we are going to pray with you. I asked her, do you want to give your life to Jesus Christ? She said, yes. We prayed for her. She gave her life to Christ. Anointed her. And, you know, and at least start to enjoy the presence of God. Then we start moving from room to room. And we're casting out those demons, saying, you Satan, you demons of hell. We were doing prophetic prayer. Prophetic prayer is calling in, aligning yourself with the will of God. The will of God is not that people should be destroyed. The will of God is not that people should be demonized. No, that's not the will of God. The will of God is not that people should not go to church. They just sit in their homes, enjoying watching TV or doing something. No, that's not the will of God. In fact, we need to cast a lot of demons in America here. I tell you, there are a lot of demons. They keep people so complacent. Home. You sit at home. They don't want to go. They have no, they have no passion for the things of God. But my goodness, they have passion for their work. You see them, my goodness, early in the morning before 7, they are driving, going wherever they want to go, yeah? Yeah, because it's working time. It's a working week. But come Sunday, oh yes, I'm too tired. I guess you know what I'm talking about. You people live here, I don't live here. It's just, you know, what I observe and I hear people say. And we, The same spirit is coming back, is going to Africa. And we are fighting that spirit. And we are telling people, no, we have to go to church on Sunday. It is the day of the Lord. Do not allow that spirit that is holding you back. Do not allow the spirit of laziness. Do not allow the spirit of complacency. Do not allow the spirit that is, you know, kind of in a cunning way, crouching into our life. Do not allow it. Say, I want to be in tune with God. I want a presence of God to consume me all Sunday through Sunday. I want to be conscious of Him. I want Him desperate in my life. And you know what? After we cast out demons there in that home, and I told her, please tell your husband, do not sell the property unless you want to sell it. Because those demons are not going to terrorize you anymore. You know, demons are like who? This guy who terrorized the whole world. And I'm glad Americans got hold of him. What was his name? Bin Laden. Yeah. That guy, my goodness. And we have these guys that are terrorizing our country too. You know, killing people there. You see, demons behave sometimes like that. They won't terrorize you. They won't make you miserable. I told her, do not sell your home. Because, you know, I had told her earlier on, if you sell your home because there are demons here, let me tell you, the same demons are going to follow you wherever you go. Yeah. So you will keep on be on migration every year. But remain here. Be here. And you are now a child of God. I pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ to cover the family. And you know what? So many years they had come to visit Kenya. We have beautiful wildlife. You need to visit Kenya. Yes, you attend our meeting in Kenya. And we have this place called Mara. Oh, my goodness. This, I guess, almost the eighth wonder of the world, the migration of animals. Masai Mara, you come there. You love it. See thousands of animals there. And they had come, I think, in a team. And when they came and reached Nairobi, they called me. And I had forgotten about it. And they told me, you know what, we want to come to Nakuru and to tell you the story. So they came to Nakuru and they are first after greetings, the next words they told me, do you know what? Since that prayer you did in our house, all those demons were gone. We did not sell our property. We still live there even today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the presence of God can do. And I pray that the Lord may help us. Oh man, let's just stand up, you know. John is very uneasy now. And, Pastor John, I'm done now. You know, hallelujah. Let's just stand and let's lift up our hands to God. Let's take 1 minute, each one of us. And please, I want you to be passionate. I want you to call upon God and say, Lord, I need your anointing. I need that anointing that will change my life. Oh yes, I want to go to another level I have not been in my life. Yes, in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to be anointed.